What's up, people? Back again for the Vendetta Cast, episode number 5 with Digger Bruckshot, aka Adam Fisher on Facebook. We are here, man. We made it to episode number 5. It is May 19th. This one should be coming out sometime this week, I would assume. Possibly Thursday, maybe Friday. This week I have Lee Griffin of the Language Crew out in Denver. I've known Lee for quite a while. And I got a lot of respect for the dude. I like what he does out there in Denver, and he's a great producer as well. So just keeping with the theme of, you know, trying to mix in a bunch of stateside drum and bass guys. Got a couple other things lined up for the next couple weeks with some more UK guys as well. And yeah, we're just going to keep it rolling like that. So I'll be looking forward to my conversation with Lee in the other part of this podcast. But for now, here we are, man. It's wild style. It's wild style. Does everyone have their decorative masks on? Your logo masks, or, you know, like your fucking decorative, you know, just a cute little trendy piece of fashionista shit. Fucking hell, man. I can't stand that people are like, you know, the thing about these masks is that, like, now they're like cool to wear. Me, I'm fully repping the surgical style blue wax, whatever the fuck it's made out of. Yeah, looking like I'm going to give birth to a baby mask. I'm not really digging these decorative, like, trendy masks, man. All the companies have them now. It's just like, dude, it's just another way. Like, obviously, it's just a money thing, man. It's a money grab. You know, it is what it is, I guess, dude, but it's just, like, real lame. Like, it just makes this shit, it just tries to, like, normalize this shit even more than, you know, it reminds me of, like, those fucking slap bracelets when we were kids. It slapped on your wrist and it would go around. It's like that kind of trend, you know? It's like, I don't know, just not into it, man. But whatever, wear your fucking cool little mask, man, to do your little designs, make it all good, man. Do you. You know, so from the masks to finger condoms, man. I went into Rite Aid today in Philly. And at the register, they have a little box full of little rubber finger condoms. So you can pick out your little personal condom, put it on your finger, and then type in your PIN code for your purchase. For your credit card. Unbelievable. I mean, I thought you're just supposed to wash your hands. I don't know, man. Or have hand sanitizer in your car or something. That's what I do. I just, like, if I go into the store, I'm not wearing gloves because it's just, need to wash my hands anyway. So I'd rather just, yeah, I'd rather just do that. I swear to God, somebody's setting off fireworks outside my house. I don't know if you can hear that or not. Yeah, so fucking, anyway, yeah, so I thought that was funny, man. The finger condom thing. Yeah, that's it, man. Fucking, and also yesterday, I'm sitting at my house. I didn't work yesterday. I'm sitting at my house. And, like, I come out, I live on, like, a kind of, like, city, like, a, it's like a mid-city kind of suburb thing. So my house is, like, in a kind of a tight neighborhood. Like, the houses are close together and shit. And so are the streets. So I come out of my house. There's a cop sitting right next to my house, like, usually where my wife parks. And I come out on my porch. I look at the cop, some young ass kid, probably like 22 years old, sitting in the driver's seat. I look at him. He stares back at me. And then he just doesn't break eye contact with me. I'm like, staring at him. Then we're having like a staring contest. I'm like, what's up, man? He goes, what's up? Then I come out my door and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, none of your business. And I'm like, well, this is my house and you're parked right next to it. And it's not really normal for a police vehicle to be sitting here. So I would say it's kind of my business. And number two, that's where my wife parks and I'm waiting for her to come home with my infant child. So why the fuck are you parked next to my house? The guy's like, I don't need to get into it, but you can stand there on your porch and stare at us if you want. And I just said to him, you're really not that good looking, bro. So I don't think I'll be doing that. And then that was it. So then I go back in the house and then my wife gets here then and I come back out and I'm walking towards they're like in my walk, like in my line of where I need to walk, you know, to get my baby out of the car. So I walk by, I'm walking like straight at their car, kind of. I'm staring at the guys, like staring at both of them, you know, just like deadlock stare. And the one cop in the passenger seat, then he starts putting his hand on the door handle. Like he thinks like I'm going to do something or he's about to jump out and do something. Like he was like real shook. Not saying that I'm scary or intimidating or anything, but just like it was like that nervous cop shit. Just like he was like ready to fucking pounce. Really fucking annoying. So then like some dude pulls up in a BMW. I started thinking, well, I think that they were doing like a training thing for this little young kid in the front seat driving. He was literally 12. I think they were trying to get people not stopping fully at the stop sign or some shit. This dude like drives through the stop sign and they fucking speed off as fast as they can. Like, either they were staking out or waiting for him or what, I don't know. But FTP anyways. Yeah, what else is going on, man? Drum and Bass Arena is coming out with that documentary I saw coming soon. Let me look that up actually real quick. I know there's a bunch of homies in that. Let me see where this is. Is it DMB Arena on Instagram or Drum and Bass Arena? I don't even know. Don't see it. I think Skiba posted it, actually. Where is this shit? All right, there it is. Yeah, Drum and Bass Arena film. A Drum and Bass... AE1 Group presents a Drum and Bass Arena film. Drum and Bass, the movement, the DMB documentary. Drum and Bass Arena has been around so fucking long, man. I remember in 1997 being in high school. Literally like when the internet was like new as fuck still. And I remember being on the, at the time it was called breakbeat.co.uk. And we would be in the chat rooms and shit. So this is a documentary, excuse me. 5 years in the making, 20 years that changed our lives. We're so proud to present Drum and Bass, the Movement, a feature-length documentary that captures a specific, intense slice of drum and bass and jungle culture's rapid acceleration from 1996 to 2016. That's a good period of time for drum and bass, man. I'll say that. That's for sure. Andy C, Goldie, Ronnie Size, Groove, Ryder, Ed Rush, An Optical, Friction, DJ Hype, Skibbity, GQ, Chasing Status. Plus many more pioneers and exclusive unseen footage from our scene's rich history. So that's probably going to be pretty dope, man. Yeah, I guess I got to say shout out Dave Colombo Jenkins on that one. Never met the guy, have no affiliation to him whatsoever, but obviously this podcast is somewhat drum and bass focused and somewhat not. So I try to like put out dope shit that's going on in drum bass that I think is dope, and I think that's dope. So check it out, man. Check it out. I think it drops on Monday, I heard. I'm not sure. I don't even know where they're putting it out on or what, but yeah, 25th of May. I guess that's Monday. I don't know. But in regards to this documentary, actually, I have to touch on this, man, because somebody sent me this and I was just blown away by the entitlement of this. Now, this is from somebody who's fairly well known in United States drum and bass. I'm not going to name names. No point in doing that. I'm not here to stir up shit, but I am here to have conversations. So I'm not trying to be negative. This is a conversation that I think needs to be had. And I think this is a kind of a prevalent problem in the United States drum and bass, honestly. And I know that this conversation was like a big conversation like a year ago about getting like the younger generation into drum and bass in the States and the need to like have the old guard, you know, open the door and support them more and shit like that. I've probably mentioned that already and I'm only 5 episodes in, but so yeah, I mean, I saw this, somebody sent me this post and I just felt like this kind of epitomizes the old guard mentality in United States drum and bass, the old head mentality, the vets, you know, as the younger kids like Flight, I've seen him have conversations, you know, they call us the old heads. That's what we are. So, you know, you just got to accept it. So you can be a cool old head or you can be a fucking, you know, an entitled old head. And when I say entitled, I mean, there's a lot of older cats in the States that feel like they're owed something so much. The old jungle owes me money adage. Shout out MC Debt. So I'm going to read this thing. And, you know, I'm not going to name who it is. I'm not going to get into all that shit. You can do that research on your own, you know. And some of you might not think it's that wild, but for me, I think it's a wild ass statement. For me, I think it's something that you might think in your mind, but not really something that you would ever put out there publicly. And just very, God, man. All right, I'm going to read it now, yeah? All right, here we go. This episode brought to you by Yuengling. Hold tight. All right, here we go. And mind you, this is a public post, okay? This is not, I'm not fishing for shit here. If you put this out in the atmosphere, I have a podcast now, so there's a good chance I might grasp onto that shit. If I feel like it's worthy of conversation. So anyway, all right, here we go. I've noticed recently that there has been an influx of documentaries on the last 20 or so years of drum and bass, and I am not in them. So they are not accurate. For whatever reason, I've been left out, and I'm here saying, with lots of proof and throwbacks, that I've been pushing the sounds of drum and bass all over this beautiful planet for the past 24 years. I've dedicated my life to it. Sometimes I wonder if I post too many throwback photos, but now you know why I do. And there is zero logic as to why a badass woman such as myself would be left out, other than it being a male-dominated and somewhat cliquey scene. So remember, when watching these documentaries, they are someone's opinion, not necessarily the actual accurate truth. And then there's like a little send-off. Thank you for whatever. Now, I mean, where do you start with that? You know, I don't know. A lot of people might see that and think nothing of it. For me, I just look at it and I think, wow. I mean, I really just think, wow. I think, how could you actually publicly say that the drum and bass documentaries that have been made as of late, whatever they may be, maybe she's referring to this drum and bass arena one. Maybe she's referring to the American Jungle one. I have no idea, but the first sentence, yeah, is what really just puts the whole thing just like into that old guard, old head, I want my fucking credit, I want my due kind of attitude, dude. How can you actually say, how can you say this, man? Like, that the documentaries that have been made are not accurate because you're not in them? I mean, doesn't that, at the end of the day, fall on you if you're not in them? I mean, maybe you haven't done enough. You could look at it that way as well. You know, I don't know, man. I think, you know, as a drum and bass DJ, producer, MC in America, you know, I think you could always do more. And even when you do the most, I kind of feel like you still don't get the recognition that you would feel like you deserve for whatever, you know, achievements you've made or whatever. But I don't know. I just feel like that's something you keep to yourself. I just can't imagine being out here and publicly saying, yo, what the fuck? Like, I should be in this. And if I'm not, then it doesn't mean shit. I mean, can you seriously? I mean, think about the amount of legends or, you know, the amount of material that there is to go through to even make a documentary about drum and bass that all come before you. I mean, Jesus, man. It's unreal to say, to make a statement like that. I mean, and that was on Facebook. So, you know, and then there was another one that I saw from the same person. It says, it doesn't really make sense as to why these documentaries wouldn't want to include me. I'm an attractive, talented, badass woman. There really is no logic behind it. So when you watch these documentaries, take it all with a grain of salt as it's someone's opinion. Well, wouldn't what you just said be your opinion? And not only that, it's an opinion about yourself. Take a fucking seat, man. Seriously. Sit the fuck down. You know, maybe in the, you know, sit down in the bathroom, look in the mirror and think, maybe what more could I have done to position myself to be in those documentaries? I mean, who even cares about that? Who even cares about that? It's clout chasing, man. It's all it is. Standard clout chasing. And it's that kind of mentality that, you know, I brought up Flight before. I mean, I saw him talking about this like a year ago, where there was like a big thread about it, about the old heads and the old guard not opening the door for younger talent, younger artists, booking them or whatever, you know. And it's just kind of like along the same lines of that, like, mentality for me. That's how I see it anyway. It's like the epitome of the old guard of USDNB, like that old head feeling, like they're owed something, and keeping new, younger artists out of it, I guess, because they're still chasing their own clout. So it's like, oh, I don't want next man, little young cat, to surpass me when I haven't even got my due yet. Who gives a fuck? They have to surpass us. Otherwise, this shit dies. That's how this works. You know, I mean, maybe not everyone would make the correlation, but that's the correlation I make with it. That's just, I see that shit and I'm just like, wow. I mean, you need to be banned from Twitter, dude. You need to be banned from DMB Twitter with that bullshit. Get the fuck out of here. Jeez, man. It's like that elitist attitude as well. Like, Jesus Christ, man. I just don't get it, dude. How do you do that? Anyways, man, you guys let me know what you think about that situation or that statement. Talk about it in the comments on the thread on Facebook, you know, for the link of the podcast, whatever. I think it's a conversation that should be had still, kind of like, not really had, I don't know, like, you just shouldn't think that way, man. You know, this is about music and having a good time for me, you know, like, I don't know, dude. That really rubbed me the wrong way when I saw that. It's annoying too, because it's somebody I really respect, like as a DJ, at least. I haven't heard too much of the production, but as a DJ, I've always had respect. I've always wanted to try and include her on anything that I've done, really. Promoter-wise, I guess. You know, not everything, but there was a moment in time years ago. This is probably like 10 years ago now, but more than that, maybe like 13 years ago. Mac from Concrete Jungle let me do like my own little series of events at Concrete for like a couple months. And I always had her on, you know. It was like one Monday a month or whatever. And then also a couple, like maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had a big thread with a bunch of New York cats and her talking about trying to maybe get a monthly together. It never really came to fruition, but whatever. Point is I'm not saying this to disrespect. I'm just saying it because it just all kind of pieces together for me with that kind of mentality. So anyway, if you're an old head and you're listening to this, fix the fuck up. You know, don't expect anything, man. Just do what you do. Don't do anything with the expectations from anyone else. Do it for you. Worry about you. Do you. And whatever comes with that, you know? Everyone in American drum and bass has their strength. So just play to that strength. And don't worry about the accolades, man. It's an accolade to be in a documentary like that. And there's a million other people I can think that would come before you for it. So on that note, I'll leave that there. Like I said, I'll leave that to you guys to decipher what I'm talking about. I have some things. So moving on from that, I got some things in the works for this podcast that I'm kind of looking forward to. Talking to some people about some ideas. I have some good possible guests coming up soon as well. So be on the lookout for those. What do you guys think about this lockdown shit? I mean, a lot of people, it seems like a lot of people getting fed up, man. You know, I mean, it was bound to happen. Personally, I think we're over the hill, man. We need to get back moving here. And I think there's so much politics and bullshit at play here that we have no idea about that is making this shit drag. Like, out in Cali talking about July, 3 months, you know, now they're talking about, you just keep hearing, they just try to put it in your ear. They just try to plant little seeds. Well, come the fall, this is going to be ba, 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 you know? And then like, what's going to happen then in September when kids are supposed to go back to school? They're going to say, well, to prevent a fucking outbreak or whatever, we're going to stutter the school start. You know, they're going to do some dumb shit, I feel like, man. I already am anticipating it. Like, it's not good, man. We got to move on from this shit. We got to do what we got to do. Seriously. Like, I know mad people disagree with me on that. That's fine. And a lot of people agree with me. So there's ways to go about it that we can get people back to work, man. And not only that, for the music industry, we're going to start, you know, the venues are going to start dropping like flies soon, real soon, because we've hit the threshold now, man, where like it was all right. We could survive 2 months, 2.5 months doing nothing and just being on pause. But now we've passed that now. And now it's getting to the point where, you know, you see these guys with this gym in Jersey opening up and shit, like people are slowly starting to be like, fuck you. Because you can't give people $1,200 in 2.5 months and expect them to just be cool with that. Sorry. That's not how it works, man. A lot of people make $1,200 a paycheck and you gave it to them for fucking 2.5 months. This shit started mid-March. We're coming up on the last 10 days of fucking May already, man. Something's got to give, dude. Sorry, this podcast hasn't been very comical, but you know, you take the good with the bad, roll with the punches. So I got about 5 minutes left here. I'm going to jump on Facebook, see what's cracking. I don't know what's anything funny. You know, I was actually in some spicy conversations yesterday, man. I meant to record this yesterday, but probably better that I didn't. I was all hyped up on Facebook drama, so no good. But also, if you are bored, or even if you're not bored, there's a great video with Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. With this guy named Dave Rubin, of the Rubin Report. I don't know. He's like a Democrat. He was a Democrat. Now he's conservative. I don't know what his deal is, but it's not a political video. But Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs really breaks down this whole this whole thing, like how it's affecting business and people needing to go back to work and this, that, and the third. He really breaks it down so good and like calm, just to the point. No politics, solely just like one man's opinion, but so on point, man. So if you have time, check that out. It's the Rubin Report, Mike Rowe. The name of the video is Exposing the Cost of Putting Safety First in Expensive College, which is kind of random, but yeah, it's worth checking out, man, if you got some time. So what else do we got, man? Coronavirus could be spreading through farts, says doctor. That's from MSN.com. No big deal. This asshole tagged me in a fucking... Anyone want 420 cash? I'm giving it away at the Atlantis fam. Check this out. Fucking don't tag me in this dumb shit, man. The fuck out of here. Oh yeah, I mean New York extended the lockdown until June 13th. From what I heard. That's a whole nother month, bro. That'll be 3 months. You know, and I'm not even bitching because I'm really being affected, like work-wise and shit, but there's millions of people, man, that just can't sustain their business anymore. I mean, I've been saying since literally the second week of this shit is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. It's not gonna, you know, it's gonna be a disaster. Obviously, it already is a disaster, but for people with businesses that have built businesses their whole fucking life and like that's how they provide for their family, this has just gotta stop, man. Sorry. Also, people driving with masks on, gotta stop. I saw somebody post the other day. This is the last thing before I'm going to cut it here. But this kid posts, I hope you're not too attached to your small business because the second wave of this in the fall is going to be twice as bad or some shit like that. I mean, like, that's the smuggest shit you can say. You hope these people are not attached to their little small business? What the fuck are you talking about, bro? People work their whole life for their little small business. Shut the fuck up, man. So smug, dude. Anyway, man, not trying to end on a negative note. Coming up next, we got Lee Griffin in part two. We're going to chop it up, representing the language crew. Shout out the homie Mike Beard also. Appreciate all you've done for me, my friend. Picking me up right before the gig's about to start, and I had 30 minutes to get on the mic. So I appreciate that, man. So yeah, man, we will see you on the next part and get into the conversation with Lee Griffin. That is me, Digga Bruckshot, the Vendetta Cast, episode number 5. See you on the next side. Easy. Welcome back, Vendetta Cast, part 2. This is episode 5, part 2, with your host, myself, Digga Bruckshot, a.k.a. Adam Fisher, on Facebook, as you already know. I'm going to get into my conversation now with the big homie Lee Griffin from Language Crew out in Denver. Going to bring him up right now. See what he's saying. Maybe he's not going to answer. I don't know what just happened there. We'll try it again. Come on, Lee. You know I was going to call. Sound like he was doing a chainsaw or something somewhere. This never happened before.
Yo, what's up, Adam?
Yo, what up, bro?
Oh, not a whole lot. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, man? I didn't get to do the intro, so I didn't know what happened when you just called. It was like, it sounded like you were running a chainsaw or some shit in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I hung up and called back. Anyway, so we got the big man, Mr. Lee Griffin, on the phone. What's cracking out in Denver, bro?
Man, I can't call it. I've been, you know, social distancing. I haven't really been going anywhere, but yeah. I mean, everyone seems to be abiding pretty well here, and you know, not really a whole lot. I've been working on some music and doing these live streams, but. But that's about it, man. My work took a big hit. I've been traveling around doing audio video work for live events all over the country. So
right. That's
kind of come to a screeching halt right now.
But as you can imagine, yeah.
Staying busy. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So what you're doing that live stream, what's it called again?
It's called Whiskey and Cookies. I do it with my girlfriend, Shay.
Yeah.
It was by Galaxy. But yeah, it's just been.
Oh, that's her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dude, I remember when I saw that name on a flyer, I was like, wow, that's a good name, dude. I was like, a lot of times girl DJs try to make it like some like miss whatever or something. I was like, oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a good little moniker, and she's a great DJ, and it's just fun, man. You know, I think, we've been kind of taking it easy for, as far as like, you know, head down mixing the whole time. We've been, communicating and, you know, kind of reaching out to people, and
right. Half
of the podcast is just playing tunes and half is just talking to people and interacting. So kind of makes you feel like you're, you know.
Oh, you guys are doing a podcast as well? Or you mean as far as the live stream?
As far as a live stream.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of is a podcast in a way, because, you know, we're
right. Interacting
with people in the chat. But yeah, it's just.
Do you record it as well or no?
Yeah, we record it. So last week I just kind of got it going on the restream. So I've got it on YouTube and then on Twitch as well. So been getting my bearings with Twitch. I should have been on it a long time ago.
Yeah, everyone's on that shit now, dude. I remember the only thing I ever knew about Twitch was when I was playing FIFA, and it was in the sponsors, yeah. Like on the side of the field and shit.
Yeah.
That's how I even like knew what the fuck it was, and then I realized that it's for like nerdy gamers, and now everyone's using it.
Yeah.
So for
FIFA, do you buy the new FIFA every year?
Dude, or, you know what's so dumb? You know how stupid I am? This is how old I am, bro. I was talking to my boy Don the other day, Trigon, and
yeah.
I was like, do you need to actually buy the physical games anymore? I don't even know. Like, I'm so out of the loop. So, yeah, every year when FIFA comes out, I go to fucking Walmart and I buy the new FIFA, even though I could probably just download the shit. I have no idea.
Yeah, it kind of screws me up, too, because I think the last one I bought was FIFA 17, and I actually have that game, but... You know, I get confused on my PlayStation. It's like, you know, it's got games I've downloaded and then games that you need the disc for.
I mean, if you play FIFA, you really only buy it for the kit changes at this point. Like, when the new kits come out, you just buy it for, oh, I want to play with the shit that they're wearing currently. that's pretty much it from year to year. But
gotcha.
I'm a FIFA guy over Pro Evolution. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, I know. I've heard about that. Yeah, I like FIFA too, man. I've always played it.
Did you know that Juventus in FIFA this year, they're not called Juventus. They're called Saint Piemonte or some shit because they sold their rights to Pro Evolution Soccer. So Pro Evolution can only have exclusive Juventus shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Money talks, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But it's from Konami as well. I think Pro Evolution is from Konami. that fucking video game shit from back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. I know like some people like that one, but
yeah, I'm not into it. So are you doing like any language live streams or anything? Like language specific?
Yeah, so I've got we've been talking to some people. We're gonna have a few guest streams.
Right.
Still waiting on getting a few of those back. And then of course Shay and I have our show Whiskey and Cookies. That's every Friday, 9 p.m. Mountain Time. So as to keep our show one thing and to kind of spread it out and to do more, what we want to do is host streams. And then, I guess whenever we can do, you know, 10 people or more or whatever, you know, honestly, I've had a few people over last weekend.
10 people or more, like for like a little, like a stream session. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, to get a few people to hang out, but you know, it's kind of like, you don't want, I'm not going to obviously pack the house.
You know what it is, man. Everyone wants to, nobody wants to be the guy that jumps first. So that's the problem right now. You know what I mean? Like nobody wants to be the one that jumps in first. So.
I mean, it's true. I mean, but like me, the last weekend, you know, I've been texting my homie Newman. He does all of our design work for language and has like ever since it started.
Right.
Good friend of mine from back in Nashville, but we've been texting a lot and, you know, invited him and his girl, and then my buddy Davey came over too. Shay was here, and we just kind of, you know, it's kind of a little
different. Yeah, when you think about that, so right, so if you think about it like this, right, so I don't understand this. So this is one thing I just completely don't get. So for the longest time, I was like, all right, I'm not going to see my mom, I'm not going to see my like extended family, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you lock away for a month, 2 months, and now we're going on three. So you know, the past couple weeks, you know, I'm like, yeah, mom, you can come to my house and see the kids. Like, you know, like, yeah. I mean, if she's been on lockdown and she hasn't gotten sick and I've been on lockdown and nobody here is sick, like, you know, when do you start being like, okay, man?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's such a weird thing. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but everyone's on edge.
I've noticed, man. I'm one of them, bro. Yeah, and this isn't Denver out here, dude. This is high tension. Yeah. This is high tension territory out here.
I remember when I used to live up that way. I always remember that was one of the first things I noticed about living. Well, I was in Philly, just south of Philly.
Yeah,
you know, this. You know, it's a little different.
Yeah. Oh so shit! You used to live outside of Philly.
Here, people are getting. I lived, the house I lived in was in Delaware.
Okay.
And then I
where, Wilmington?
In Aston. It was Newark.
Newark, Delaware.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's a place. Right. That's a place for sure.
And I was working in Aston, PA, but even people here, man, people here have been kind of tripping out. I mean, people are just rude and, you know, I saw a lady like throwing a fit because she wasn't allowed in the store with her dog and no mask.
Did the dog have a mask on?
Yeah, that's why she was getting.
That's why she wasn't allowed in, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Well, on my last episode, dude, I had a conversation about how some lady went absolutely apeshit when I was in Family Dollar just buying water, dude. Like she went nuts. She wasn't wearing a mask. And like the cashiers told her like, yo, you got to have a mask on to be in here. She like started flipping out. She's like, oh, you just believe everything on TV. Like went absolutely nuts, bro. And like, I had to intervene, you know? Yeah. I had to intervene and shit, but yeah.
If you don't want to get roasted in public in 2020.
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, I roasted the shit out of her. Don't get me. I roasted the shit out of this lady. And then, yeah. And then she like was driving by me in the parking lot and she goes, fuck you asshole. And like drives away.
That's when you blow him a kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I laughed, you know, I love that kind of shit. So.
That's what my dad taught me. It's like, if you're road rage and someone's being all crazy, just blow him a kiss. And
yeah. Yeah. For sure.
It's more effective than the middle finger.
Definitely. When someone gives me the finger, I like, it's just comical to me. Just, I don't know if you ever heard that Seinfeld bit where he's talking about the middle finger and like how it's just such a weird, it's such a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it really is. And like, growing up, well, you're from the UK.
I'm not from the UK, but I spent a lot of time there. Yeah.
growing up there, I had a poster in my room as a kid, and it was like some kid with like a mohawk, like giving a middle finger. I don't know why, but it was like giving a middle finger. But like from my understanding, like back in those days, like that meant like cool or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, in England, it would be the two fingers, isn't it? In it, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it'd be the two fingers. The two finger salute.
Like under the chin.
Yeah. So when I was out there last, man, I feel kind of bad because I don't think I did like the best that I could have done at the show that you guys did with Swift. And I've been thinking about it for so long, like because I was so just completely rinsed out from the previous shows and shit. And then Mike came to pick me up 30 minutes before the set. Swift too. And we were both we were just asleep, you know? So, but yeah.
Nah, you smashed it. You did really well. I mean, I remember I was standing there with Steve Fury from Reload.
Right.
And we were watching you, and he said to me, he was like, man, we got to have him back out here.
Yeah, actually. Right. Yeah. Shout out, Steve. Yeah, I know Fury, man.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, man. And it was really cool to meet Monty too, man.
He's awesome, so cool, man. Yes.
And then the time you were out here before was great too for Ed Rush and
Oscar. Yeah, bro. Yeah, I love coming out there, man. You guys take care of shit out there, man.
Oh, we appreciate it, man. Yeah. The last show we were gonna have was World of Drum and Bass, and obviously when the tour was happening, I remember just thinking like, are they gonna be able to pull it off? And then I think they got it like Calgary.
They did pretty much the whole Canadian leg, and then they were going to – the next stop was New York, and then, like, it was literally – our date was, like, March 15th, and the lockdown was, like, March 16th in New York. It was just, like, that's it. And, like, days – I mean, it was, like, a week leading up to it, a couple weeks leading up to it. You know, me and the BP2 guys were talking, like, what are we going to do? Man, this is, like, fucked up, and – SS was up in Canada telling me it's all good, don't worry about it. And then New York was like, fuck this, we're locking down. And then I was like, bro, we gotta pull it, man. And then and then obviously we ended up pulling the whole fucking tour. So
we'll definitely do it again next year. I mean, it's such a good lineup.
How is the what's the venue situation out in Denver right now? Are they like the Black Box? Even I know the shout out the Black Box, prominent venue in Denver.
Big shouts to Black Box, and I think everyone's just kind of
waiting.
Yeah, man, because but the Black Box are doing a really good Twitch channel right now too, so it's like, I mean, most days it's always going, so and you can donate there too, so that's kind of the thing right now. I haven't really heard too much about Club Vinyl, and
I've never even, I mean, I think, yeah, I've never played, I played at like one other place in Denver, I think.
Yeah.
I forget what year it was, but it was for World of Drum and Bass as well.
The World of Drum and Bass is, we were going to have that at Club Vinyl, and that's where we started doing language the first 2 years. You just have to hire sound and all that good stuff for the first 2 years down there. But, so we've been to the Black Box since and jumped around a few other places too, but I really hope that all these clubs just, you know, don't go away, because I think I saw something about a big one in DC
that was U-Haul.
Was it U-Haul?
That would be
a tragedy. I've actually never been to that place. I've always wanted to.
Yeah, it's a great venue. Shout out U-Haul. Shout out Dom from 3D Productions, always bringing me out there.
I saw Dom when played up there in DC.
That
con. Shout out Dom.
Yeah, we don't want that venue to go under, man. That's a fucking solid venue. I love that fucking venue. I've talked about this venue like the last three episodes, but that's like one of the major venues that I first saw that was like talking about, you know, we got about 6 months left. If we don't, you know, if something doesn't kick into gear here, we're fucked, you know?
Yeah. Well, we saw that here with Beta here in Denver, which is, you know.
Oh, they're saying that too? I mean, there's a bunch of other venues like in New York and shit saying the same kind of shit. It's like,
Beta went out, you know, kind of right before all this happened.
Oh, really?
But but still, it was, that was a shame to lose that venue, because man, so many great shows there, and such an awesome staff and everyone. Yeah, we
had never been
to our little night up there in the upstairs room.
Yeah,
it was so great, man, because they always made sure to put us up there when they had, you know, like the club sold out, which was great. They'd have like Duke Dumont or Claude Monstro down there, and then just like I would always encourage everyone to play like Liquid, you know what I mean?
Well, you used to work for Beatport, right?
Yes, yeah, I recently just stopped stopped working there right at the end of February. Not anything to do with COVID-19 or anything like that.
COVID-19.
COVID-19.
You seen that video?
Yeah, that guy.
Dude.
He's worth like $35 million. Did you see the interview before, he did the COVID-19 bit? Like, they stopped him at one point when he's...
When he was, like, getting out of a truck or something?
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. One. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
The guy's such a fucking scumbag, dude.
Nuts, bro.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's such a piece of shit, dude. But I can't get that fucking song out of my head, bro. I like play it for my son every fucking day.
Dude, I can't get those crazy eyes out of my head.
I know. And his teeth as well. His teeth.
Yeah.
He just looks fucked up.
$35 million, bro.
He's worth $35 million?
I think that's what I read.
What a fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
Straight up.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wild.
But we were saying, so you worked for Beatport and you're not with them anymore, right?
Nope, not currently. But yeah, it was a good...
You worked for them for a while though, right?
Yeah, 5 years. So, it's been...
What did you actually do there?
What's up?
What was your actual job there, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, so I was a content operations coordinator. So I mainly worked in the sound department. So, which is like, you know, like sample packs and preset packs and stuff like that. So I was basically talking with the labels and then putting content on the site and, you know, just kind of communicating with the labels. But see, this is the thing, is that whole industry is kind of, when it comes to samples, man, there are things like Splice, Loop Cloud.
Do you think that Beatport is still as relevant as it was, like, I don't know, say 5 years ago?
I think, yeah, right now, because especially with the live...
I mean, I'm kind of out of the loop, like, with like releases and shit anymore these days. I mean, I'm an MC anyway, so I don't really ever pay attention to that shit anyway, but I'm like really far removed from it now. So I don't even know, like, does it even matter if you get a number one on Beatport anymore? I mean, I don't even know.
I think yeah, it does, because it's easy to say.
I mean, I'm saying is like Beatport still the you know.
I'd say it's still the leader. Yeah.
Right.
There are definitely, you know, other you know, avenues to go, but you know, they have a whole staff of people in LA and in Denver, Berlin that are just, you know, constantly, you know, staying up on things and, you know, really, really putting their, you know, hearts into it. So like, that's why I think, you know, it's really relevant. And I'm really impressed with their live streams that they've been doing.
Right.
Been awesome, man. They've been crushing it. They did
they had one with Noisia, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. They had a...
And Black Sun Empire and somebody else.
Oh yeah, I really like the TI upgrade back to back. They're like roommates.
Mm-hmm.
So they played the set. It was jokes, man. The whole thing was, they were just joking and like just playing all their dubs. It was great.
Yeah, there's so many to like even try and catch at this point.
It's been great. I've been watching them like in my room. You know, like especially on like the weekends, you can just pop in Twitch or Facebook, and it's just going all the time.
My favorite ones are the ones that the guys are like DJing in their underwear, like in their kitchen. You know?
Yeah.
Those are the ones. Right? Yeah. They got no kind of effort whatsoever. Just like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to set my phone up.
And there's some crazy ones too. Like the guy that, that puts rubber bands on things and then they explode.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, that's pretty entertaining. It's like, me and Shay couldn't stop watching that the other night. We're like, oh,
fuck, man.
We watched it until it went. It's great. Mindless.
Jeez, there's so much mindless shit out there right now, dude. It's mindless as fuck. And the memes are out of control. And like, I don't know. I think people are really starting to catch feelings and shit about certain things. Man, I mentioned something on Facebook today. I know that I saw you liked it about the old heads, like complaining about what they're trying to, what they deserve and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Seeing a lot of people starting to maybe lose their head a little bit, man. Like, you know, they see certain things that they don't like and they're like, well, I used to be there and I, back in my day, you know, that kind of shit.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Being key. Like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah. I mean, I just, I don't know. It's kind of, it's relevant to the first part of this podcast. So I just want to touch on it a little bit with you.
I mean, that's just something in drum and bass that's just, it's all.
Do you think that's a specifically American thing? Because I kind of do.
I think it probably is. It probably more so is an American thing because, you know, when you go rave over in the UK or go to a show out there, it's just, there's not all these, you know, there's not all these politics involved.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they definitely have their own politics, but. I think because it's so much smaller here, it's just like, it's like I always say, I say this all the time and I'm going to say it again, but like, there's no drum and bass industry in America. Okay. So it's all everyone pretty much doing shit out of full love for the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when they don't get their reward from that, they start getting butthurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in the UK, it's an industry, you know what I mean? It employs people. Mm-hmm. People have jobs because of drum and bass out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Ram Records employs people. Fucking Players employs people. Hospital has employees, you know what I mean? Like it's an industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can survive off of it out there.
Right.
You know, it is it's legit. That's why somebody asked me the other day, like, so how are you doing with all the music stuff? I'm like, you know, bummed out, obviously, but it's not like we were, you know.
No, I mean, like as a producer, like say at your level, if you went to the UK and you built yourself up for maybe like a year or two, you could probably start running the circuit and living off of gigs.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean? Same thing. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but I mean, same thing for me as an MC. If I went to the UK, I could get 5 gigs a week, probably, if I try, you know what I mean? I know I got the connections, you know what I mean? So, you know, you could live off of that here. You could never do that. You could live off of it. You'd live off of it very poorly. You know what I mean? Like, but you can make a good amount of change doing a couple gigs a week, where here you just can't do that.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I was just over there, me and Shay were over there in January and I don't know, it's just the timing was weird. I think all the Christmas parties happened right before we got there, but there was a party at Egg and like Kenny Ken, I forget the name of the party, but it was Ray Keith too.
Right.
It was a big lineup, but it was Shay's first time going to a club in the UK.
Mm.
We walk in there, and there's one room, and it's like a decent amount of people in there.
Right.
And then we go upstairs, and she couldn't believe it.
Just the vibe and shit?
Yeah, she was like...
It's totally different. It's totally different.
It's, you know, it was... And I guess what I mean when I say it's like, there are definitely politics in the UK scene, but like, as a whole, like, when there's like a big night going on and stuff like that, it's just like...
It's vibes.
It's just... it's just
it really is. It really is. When I was over there, and last time I was there was 2017. I went to Warning in Cambridge. I was with SS. We did a bunch of shows in Bulgaria, and then we did the boat party in London with the Prototypes. And even on the boat, the vibe was just like nobody's there to politic. You know what I mean? Everyone's there just to hear drum and bass, and that was it. And like, I don't know. In the UK, you have that times a trillion. You know what I mean? And in the States here, I don't know. It's like an older crowd here. So people show up to the parties. They want to just hang out, smoke cigarettes, and, you know, they might come in and dance a little bit here and there. But, you know, I think we need to get a lot more young people into drum and bass here, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's the, you know, when you go to a party in the UK, there's an enthusiasm there.
Yeah.
That's a major difference as well. There's a massive enthusiasm with the crowd, you know what I mean? Like, so in the States, like I said, you know, you get people that are our age kind of bumping and bopping around, but not really just letting loose, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know. I almost wish like people could just like, everyone could just go and like go to one show and they come back.
Yeah, dude. Like, okay. Yeah. It's a different thing, man. It's a different animal, man.
I mean, people still dance quite a bit at our shows and stuff like that. And, you know, it's still a good vibe.
Of course, yeah. No, I mean, trust me. Don't get me wrong, dude. I've done plenty of shows in the States that are amazing. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
I love performing in the States, of course. But I'm not even talking about
It's like the size of the venue. Because, I mean, some of these places I've been to in the UK are just like massive, and it's like allowed. You know what I mean? We have places that big here, but they're just not allowed. Like, I went to that, I was over there, I went to Printworks, which is just insane. And I went to that place where you just said, that place in Cambridge. I went there a while
Cambridge
back
Junction.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, it's a cool little spot, man.
Great spot.
I didn't go to Warning, but I went to a hospitality there, and it was Newtone's album release party.
Mm-hmm.
That was a while ago, but yeah, it's just like venues like that, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's just ridiculous.
It's just different. I mean, it's just a production. The production level is higher, and you know, those are things that we need to aspire to here. But like, you know, back to what we were saying before, we got to get younger people involved, man, because they kind of bring that enthusiasm that we might not really have anymore as old motherfuckers.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
we're coming up on about 2 minutes left, just to give you a heads up, man.
Okay. Yeah, definitely, man. I couldn't agree more about getting younger people involved. That's always kind of been our, one of our missions too, is getting younger people involved, because it is.
And I think that you guys have the opportunity to do that more out there for some. I mean, that's just the Denver vibe. I feel like the younger cats are a little more open to maybe venturing into it. You know, I don't know. That's just how I feel. I feel like when I've done shows in Denver, it's more of a younger crowd than when I do shows other places.
Yeah. There's pretty equal to like guys and girls and stuff too. And,
mm-hmm. I agree.
It'll be interesting to see how many people show up, or, you know, what it's going to be like, you know, when this is all over.
And what venues are left.
Going to be interesting.
Yeah, dude. So we got a minute left, man. Anything you want to plug or shout out?
Hey, man, big shout out to you for having me on.
No doubt, man.
If you're hearing this, make sure to check out Language Denver, drum and bass, Facebook page, Twitch. And keep your eyes peeled. We'll have some more shows and podcasts coming up.
Yeah, man.
Then tomorrow, Whiskey and Cookies, 9 p.m. Mountain Time.
Whiskey and Cookies. Actually, this is going to come out tomorrow, so it'll be tomorrow, Thursday, yeah?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Sorry.
It's all good, man. I barely know what month it is right now. So.
All right, brother. We're rolling out, man. So I'll chat to you soon then.
All right, man. Big up.
I appreciate it, man. Take it easy.
Yeah.